Now, the Minister for Justice, Jim O'Callaghan, has signalled that he'll strengthen laws around the disclosure of a victim's counselling notes to the criminal trial of an alleged attacker. The Minister has secured Cabinet approval to draft legislation that would raise the threshold for when counselling notes could be used in rape trials. New laws would require disclosure hearings to take place in all such cases, removing a provision allowing that step to be waived. Victims of sexual crimes have spoken about how traumatising it is to have your attacker access your therapy notes. Solicitor Sarah Grace was sexually assaulted 5 years ago by an intruder in her own home. She told our reporter Ethna Dodd how shocked she was to realise that counselling notes from her therapy sessions could be used in evidence against her.
I survived an incredibly violent sexual assault, and so obviously after that, you know, needed a significant amount of therapy to work through the trauma, and particularly the trauma of sexual assault and what that meant for me as a woman. I realized after about 6 months in that the weekly therapy counseling sessions that I was going through and the notes that were taken by the therapist were going to be seized by the courts and used as evidence against me to basically try to discredit what I was saying. I really thought about stopping altogether. The only thing that didn't is I was so far in and so deep in, and I was going to weekly counseling sessions that, you know, at that stage I had poured so much of myself out. But certainly from that point on, I was very conscious that anything I was saying in therapy could be used against me. And it, you know, it did in a way make the counselling way less effective because I was having to be careful about what I say, which defeats the whole purpose of therapy altogether. It just does not make sense. And it's such an infringement of victims' personal rights, you know, to privacy and just to human decency.
And that was Sarah Grace there talking to Ethna Dodd. For more, we're joined by Gemma McLaughlin-Burke, who's a barrister and co-author of a report for the Department of Justice on the processing of sexual crimes. Gemma, good morning. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me on.
It is quite the shock, isn't it, to realise you've been the victim of a sexual assault and then to realise that this safe space that you feel you have found for yourself to try to recover could be used by the lawyers in a criminal trial.
Yeah, I think from certainly the report that we conducted, there's a huge lack of knowledge of individuals when they're engaging in counselling. That's something that could happen. So it certainly does come to a shock to many who are engaged in the counselling process.
What is the present system?
So the present system, in fact, the law actually was amended in 2018. So previously, what happened is that really accused persons were entitled, as a matter of course, as part of their disclosure, they were entitled to counselling notes in sexual offence cases. And in 2018, the law was amended to introduce a new test that would apply, that judges could apply, to look at whether or not counselling records should be disclosed. But the reality is that it hasn't really, I suppose, been implemented the way it should have been, because as a matter of practice, it seems from the research that we carried out that individuals who come to the Gardaí to make a complaint are almost informed. I'm not sure whether it's, and it wasn't certain from the research, mm-hmm. It's unclear whether they're being informed by the Gardaí or by the individuals from whom they obtain counselling. But they're effectively being told that as a matter of course, these records are going to be disclosed, so you might as well sign a waiver now. So the legislation that was amended that in 2018, it provides for a contested hearing. So where someone refuses to disclose, a judge can then look at the, you know, look at the matter and decide whether it should be disclosed.
So it would be a judge's decision. Yeah, it would be a judge's decision as to whether they're included or not. That's the current situation. So what's Jim O'Callaghan proposing that changes that?
So what he wants to change is he wants to make that mandatory in all cases. So effectively that people would no longer be entitled to waive their entitlement. And as I said, this is a practice now that people are being informed incorrectly, really, that if they don't disclose their counselling records, that the prosecution may not go ahead. That was certainly a lot of the feedback we got. So this is a kind of a reintroduction of the same provisions, but making it mandatory in every case.
You can wait, I suppose, anything from what, 1, 2, 3 years or even more for a case to come to trial. And we hear that some people in need of therapy are now not going into therapy because mm-hmm. they are worried about their notes being made available in any prosecution of an attacker. Why is it necessary for the defence teams to have access to these notes?
So historically, it would have been, and still presently is the case, that the rights of the accused entitle them to anything that can assist them in their defence. And so there are cases, and they are, I would say, the exception, and certainly it came up in our research, it's the exception rather than the rule, where there may be matters in counselling records that are of assistance, but in the majority of cases, in fact, there's not really anything of relevance. What people are looking for are inconsistent statements or perhaps previous false accusations. That's generally where this is where it all came from. This is why they started being disclosed in the first place. But certainly there's no compulsion on any complainant to disclose their records. They're entitled to refuse to waive that disclosure and to have a hearing before a court.
Yeah, but it's still ultimately a decision for the judge. Will what Jim O'Callaghan is proposing really change anything here?
It may change the culture, which I think is what is required, because there needs to be a new conversation around whether or not these are required instead of it just being a matter of routine. So certainly that it has the potential to change the culture around what the expectations of complainants are in these cases.
Okay. Gemma, thank you for joining us. That's Barrister Gemma McLachlan-Burke there at 14 minutes to 8.